So there's a lot of talk in our culture today about inequalities, isn't there? The inequality of like social inequalities, right? Again, this is not to debate if they're legitimate inequalities, but the fact remains there's a lot of talk about social inequality, economic inequality, women inequality among genders, on pay. What are other inequalities you hear in our culture? What's that? Inequality in opportunities. Inequality basically means what? There's a difference. Yeah, it's not fair. There's something's not even, right? That people think they should be. But today and next week, I want us to discuss a different kind of equality, inequality. And the inequality that we're going to talk about is 1,000 times more serious, more important, and there's far more at stake at the inequality that we're going to be talking about. Now, James actually warns us and talks about this inequality and the consequences in James chapter 1. Now, in your handout, I have the passages that we're going to look at, but you'll still need your Bible for a few references too. So I think I need a clicker. So let's just jump right into this passage as we look at closing the gap of inequality. In James 1, verse 19, he says, "This you know, my beloved brethren." Well, that's kind of like jumping into a middle of a conversation. Know what? You already know this. Reuben, you know this. And you're going to say, yes. In your mind, you're going, know what? Right? Have you ever answered without, yep, but I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just being polite, right? So to know what he's talking about to them, saying, you know this, we need to go back to at least verse 16. And of course, it's probably, you could probably go back to the beginning, but we'll just go back for sake of time to verse 16. So in James chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, turn or flip to James 1, and I'll look at verse 16 as soon as I find it. He says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Look at verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by what? The word of truth. He born us through the word of truth, the gospel, the living word of God, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. So he's saying, but you already know this. You know that it was by the exercising of our Father's will, praise God for that, that he brought us forth, he born us spiritually, and he used the means of the word of truth. As they had heard the gospel and obeyed the word of truth, God created within them became a new creation. They became spiritually alive, born again into his family, and they were among the first fruits. You know this already. But he says, continuing in chapter 1, verse 19, "But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And speaking of anger, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Now, in our world, some things are best done quick, right? What are some things that they're just best done fast and quick? What's something? A what? Oh, a Band-Aid. You want it slow? Or you want it fast, right? Hurry up. Oh, faster, right? Okay, so Band-Aid. What else? IV. Oh, you want the poke real fast. Yeah, when I first started doing IVs, I'm kind of like real slow where the skin's kind of even being pushed. And they're like, ah, all right? And then I'm real slow. I'm digging because I'm new. Ah, 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 ah. I'm like, shh. I'm a professional. Right, Neil? We're professionals. You want it fast. You want to get through the skin. Okay, right. And some things are done best slowly. What are things, some of the things in our world there, it's best to do it very slow? Cooking something. You don't want to cook some stuff fast, right? Like, you don't want to cook frozen fish fast in overheated grease, right? What happens? You remember that? It does. It's still frozen in the right. What's some stuff do you want? You should do slow. Cooking, what else? Okay, good, great. That was good examples. So, but he says here, he says, listen, you need to be quick to hear, ready to hear, meaning you should be careful, thoughtful listeners. And you should be slow to speak. You should be a careful selector. That should be a word that should jump out of your mind and you should keep. You should be a selector of words, not only the quality of your words, right? But the quantity. Those carry equal weight. He says, you should be very slow at becoming angry, irritated. It's not just the outburst, but just the simmering, the I'm smiling, but I'm so mad at you right now, right? All those, we need to be careful managers of that emotion that God gave us, and managed rightly glorifies Him as we use it for His glory. He says, because anger doesn't produce. Okay, so in verse 20, circle that word achieve. Okay, there's different words for achieve, to produce. The work of anger, the fruit of anger doesn't produce what God is producing in you or wants to produce. That's a godly character, godly thinking, godly behavior that lines up with Him. In verse 21, therefore, circle therefore, because therefore it means, okay, based on what I just said, whenever you see the word therefore, go back to what he said or know what he just said. Because therefore, based on what I said, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. He says, therefore, put aside, get rid of any moral filth that you find in your life. And not only that, but if there's any leftover wickedness from your life before Jesus, take care of that one, those too. There's like residual, you know, leftovers. Right? When you're done with dinner at a restaurant and you have leftovers, what do you usually do with those leftovers? What do you ask for? What do you ask for? Yeah. When's the last time you heard ask for a doggy bag? You're probably older if you did, right? We used to say, hey, can I have a doggy? Oh, sorry, Ellen. Wow. Okay. Most. All right. But you must have heard it from somebody else. Okay. But right. So you take your leftovers, right? And so I kind of, as a visual of leftovers, is like when I was at the table of my unbelieving life, he says, don't take any leftovers as you sit at the table of your believing life, your life that is now. If you have any doggy bags or left over, any moral, immoral or evil habits or thinking, he goes, work on getting rid of those also. He says, so that with an attitude of humility, bowing down, humbling yourself before God and His Word, receive the implanted Word. Now, circle implanted. It's the idea of engrafted, to graft. It's the idea of being rooted. He's saying the Word of God is already rooted and engrafted in you, right? Because he's talking to believers, so they've already heard the gospel. They've responded to the gospel. They've been brought forth by the gospel. So the truth, the word of truth is already engrafted in you. But he says, I want you to receive it. In other words, I want you to continue to act upon it. I need you to continue to seek out the word of truth. The engrafted truth, I want you to add to that. Look at what Peter says about the role that God's word plays in our life in Christ. Look at 1 Peter, which is just a letter right next to James. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, therefore, again, okay, I should go back and see what he's talking about. Therefore, he's talking about the word of God and being brought forth by the imperishable, living and enduring word of God. Verse 23. The imperishable is through the living and enduring word of God. He goes, therefore, put aside all the malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all the slander. And instead, he says in verse 2, in 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk. Crave the pure milk of the word. And why is that? What can I expect when I begin to crave? If I crave, I'm going to seek it. If I crave, it's going to be on my mind. If I crave, I'm going to labor over it for a long time. Because if you do, by it, you may grow in respect to your salvation. You will mature and God will produce within you his righteousness and the lifestyle and the thinking that he wants to produce in you to bring you or bring him much glory. But he says, speaking of God's word, let's be mindful of this in verse 22. He says, but prove yourselves. Okay, circle the word prove. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not mere hearers. And those who hear are and not do are just deluding themselves, he says. Prove yourself. All right. How do you prove yourself in something? You keep striving or you accomplish. It's the act of doing. He goes, keep striving and keep actively engaging your life with the word so that you're not just hearers, but doers. Now, instruction in the word of God is a must, right? You can't obey what you don't know. Is that true? All right. You can't obey what you don't know. And so he's saying if we are not engaging God's word by practicing it and putting it into practice in our life, he is telling us as we look at other passages that no transformation is happening. Because why would he say, don't just be a listener, but be a doer? Because by just listening and not doing, internalizing it and practicing it, there's no transformation that's going to happen. The Pharisees are an awesome example of this, right? Jesus says, you pore over the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life, of those of which speak of me. And what does Jesus say about the Pharisees' hearts? They're filthy. They knew they could stand up here and recite the whole Old Testament. And yet inside they were filthy. So just because you have the knowledge doesn't mean there's a transformation that's happening. You know, most of us here are longtime Christians, right? So if you've been a Christian longer than 5 years, raise your hand. Okay, longer than 10 years. 15, 20, about 25 probably, 25, 30, 35, 40, 50, 60, Don's hand keeps getting higher. This is when old age is 75 years. You're only 72. Okay, so how many years? Oh, I bet, give or take.
About six.
Okay. So 7.5 decades. Okay, so 3 years ago we did a survey. Do you know what the average Christian or length that someone's been a Christian, you know, our average years was? That I think it was 35 years. It was the average years a person in our church had been a Christian is 35 years. That's the median Christian age. 35 years. That was 3 years ago. Okay. Now, I imagine those 35 years, you've probably visited every corner or almost every corner of the scriptures, right? I imagine that it's been months, if not years, if you've heard a new truth. When's the last time you've really heard a truth you're like, I never heard that before? It happens from time to time, right? But so basically what we're doing on Sunday morning is either reviewing a truth you already know, perhaps giving you a better understanding of that truth, but really there's nothing new that we're presenting to you. So knowledge is not a problem for you, right? If from this point on the rest of your life you are not allowed, you will not have access to the scripture, would you still be okay? Would you still be able to discern God's will? Absolutely. If you've been going here for 10 plus years and been active in a church and read your scripture, and you have, at least you can't point to the past, all the passages, but you know the principle, right? You could recognize if I gave you this principle and this principle, which principle is biblical. Typically, 99% of you would figure out which one without even looking at scripture, right? So knowledge isn't the problem. But if we were honest and we did an honest evaluation, we would have to admit that there's a gap that exists in our life. We would have to admit that there is an inequality, a discrepancy in our life. And that gap is between our knowledge and our obedience. I think if we admitted it, for most Christians, the majority, and the variance is different, but there's a gap between what we know and what we obey. So I was trying to figure out, I was telling Dad, how in the world am I going to keep people awake during sermons? So I said, do I preach shorter? I'm like, nah. Do I get more exciting? Nah. And it just dawned on me. Okay, so if I start to see you, better wake him up. Right? But listen, if this is the sum of your knowledge of the scripture, how much of it do you really obey? For some, it's this much, right? For some, you're getting closer. But there's a gap. There's an inequality. There's a difference between our knowledge and our obedience, and what we know and what we do. I want you to write this down under verse 22. You ready? Okay, ready? Educated beyond obedience. We are educated. Have you ever heard that before? I don't know where I heard it. I heard it a long time ago, but it gets at what the point is. We are educated beyond our obedience. Now, is that a big deal? Is that a big deal? Is it a big deal? Why is it a big deal? Give me a reason why it's a big deal. Or is it just...
Well, we know the youth and we're failing.
Sin. Okay, sin.
We're not as obedient as what we take.
We have an inflated view of our obedience. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of scripture? He was an unbeliever, but he had an inflated view of his own obedience. Think about it. Just think about it. Jesus had interaction with him. Okay. Somebody is, this is like a perfect example of somebody who's inflated idea that I'm fully obedient to the law.
Was that rich young ruler?
Yes. The rich ruler, right? I've done them all, Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I've done them all.
Okay, then go sell everything. All right, had he always kept all the law? In his mind, he did. Externally, probably not even externally, right? But what Jesus did, he exposed an area that was an idol because he was very rich. And so instead of submitting to Jesus and following him, he held on and he realized, or at least Jesus made it known that he was a lawbreaker. Okay. All right. So sin. Okay. Anything else?
Inconsistency.
Okay.
With our testimony.
So it hinders our testimony. One of the things that really hinders the testimony of believers is inconsistency. You want to ruin your testimony, then be inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Be on fire, and then what? Live like the devil? Be on fire, live like the devil, right? Or in between. So you're saying, and you're not doing, so there's inconsistency. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, listen to what they're teaching, but don't do what they're doing. Matthew 23. Go ahead and listen, okay, because whatever they were teaching, he said, go ahead and listen to them, but don't follow what they say. Okay?
Look what else it does. James thought it was a big deal, too. Matter of fact, he says, those who just are hearers of the word, not doers, delude themselves. Circle or underline delude. It's the idea of misleading. You mislead yourself. Because in those areas that I'm not obeying God's word, what am I obeying? And according to what wisdom am I following?
Self, world,
Satan.
Philosophy, ideology, you're following some wisdom, some world view in that area. He says, when you do, you're misleading yourself away from God. And so I like to use a stronger word. It's deranged. I like the word deranged. What does the word deranged mean? That's a pretty strong word. Not sensible, right? Out of your mind. Is anybody thinking straight when they're disobeying God? You're deranged. So honestly, that gap between my knowledge and my obedience, those areas of my life, I'm deranged in my thinking and even in my behavior if I'm not lining up with God. That's deranged, right? When you hear that's deranged, it's what? It's like, wow, that's pretty twisted. That's what he says. So,
the next question is why? Why does this gap of inequality between what I know and what I do exist? And this is the question we're going to give. I'm going to give you 1 minute on your handout, why the gap. I want you for 1 minute to think about and write down one reason why this gap exists between what I know and what I do. Why is it that my knowledge of God's word outpaces my obedience? Why does your knowledge outpace your obedience? Think of your own life, where you're disobedient, or just life in general of Christians, why there's a gap. Does everybody have at least one answer? Okay, now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to spend a minute, and I want you to share your answer with each other near you, okay? And I want to see if you come up with similar answers, or if your answers are different, okay? So that means, watch, that means that you'll have to take your head and your body and actually turn, and then maybe turn left. And then this hinge thing is called a jaw, and things should come out of it, like words. Okay, so share with your neighbor, someone near you, if you have similar or different answer on reasons why, and reason why.
I'm not sure.
Being knowledge you can usually do in private.
Okay, did anybody have the same answers? Anybody come up with the same answers? Oh. If you got one of the same answers. Both of you have everybody else had different answers?
Yeah.
Did you have the same one?
Well, the first thing I wrote is I put down, we live in the world, thus we can make this world. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay.
I just put, we think we're doing God's will, and we fall short.
But
why
don't
spread the word.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to write down some of your responses so that we can learn from each other. Okay. So surprisingly, you
get it down to one word.
So we stay on task. The question is, why does my knowledge outpass or outpace my obedience? Okay, we know that exists. And more than others, some less than others, okay? What are some causes of that? Billy?
It's a trust issue.
Trust. Right. What do you mean by trust?
Well, I know, but I may have some preconceived notions about how the outcome should be based on this, but it's not truly how God's going to work it out.
Yeah, ouch.
And I don't trust that.
In other words, we don't want it to come out.
Don't want this outcome. I want to say.
That's tough. Yeah. So we worry and we kind of, that's tough. Okay, so lack of trust. How about that?
That's three words.
Mistrust. Yes, Judy. Okay, our flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. So sin nature, right? Flesh. You guys know what flesh is, right? Not this flesh. This flesh. Okay. Busyness. Come on.
You got to look, Dad.
I don't know. I'm intimidating. You can tell, right?
Yeah.
I'm a tight ship. Okay. Make sure it's busy. Busyness.
Priorities
are skewed.
It's
with a Y? That's
with a Y.
Hey, I spelled hose.
It's different than business.
H-O-U-S-E yesterday, so.
Okay, so what's another
example?
Show.
You got E-L-A-Z-ness.
Laziness.
Carly,
I'm here.
Carly.
Paul.
And you.
Selfishness, Paul said. Make sure it's there. You can write it up here, too. Okay, selfishness. And Mary Beth and Sam had that one. Anybody? Okay.
I thought I was going to go downhill. Okay. Going downhill.
Ellen.
Pride.
Yep. All right, I want to get a total of 10. Lack of commitment. Is there one word? Can we do a one of lack of commitment?
Uncommitted.
Uncommitted?
Uncommitted.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing it.
You can stand in front of me. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, somebody had a hand up over here.
Just the world in itself. You get busy if you're not around non-Christians. If you're around them, it can affect.
Oh, I want to circle that one. Okay. Lack of community. Not being in community with believers. Lack of relationship with believer. How would you say
very
I mean community, church community, Christian community. Huh? Lack of fellowship then? Okay. Lack of discipleship? Okay. So that's 6, 7, 8.
Awkwardness?
Awkwardness?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I was thinking in terms of gaining knowledge you can just do by yourself, But if you're going to put it into practice, usually it involves doing it in front of people and with people.
Okay.
So you feel awkward.
So when I feel awkward, that's a fruit from a root cause.
Pride.
Pride. Okay, pride, right? I don't want to embarrass myself. I do that every Sunday, so I'm over that. I really am. Okay, so I guess that would, awkwardness would be lack of practice, but you know, it could be just lack of practice, like when you first driving, Kayla, right? And then she's doing, it was awkward for her. And within an hour, she was like, hey, it's like, slow down, right? Okay, let me use that. 1, 2, 3. Okay, two more. And write these down for yourself, too, just because some of these will hit you in certain areas, huh?
Hypocrisy. Okay, so like on the outside, you're demanding or you're saying, but then on the inside.
Okay. Yeah, that's the point. Is like, why do we do that? Why do we know and don't do? And some of these are right. Okay. Why do we not do what we know? Okay. Is anybody? We haven't tapped out yet. Priorities. Unorganized. No, we don't prioritize right.
Yeah.
Okay, so
priorities.
Priorities would be here. Yeah. It's a priority, but it's right here. It's after this. At first, I was thinking, well, that's not part of business. You just prioritize your life, right? You're busy according to the priority of your values. You're busy according to the priority. Everybody lives by priority. But the question is, how are those priorities organized? By your value, what you value. Okay, I'm going to put that one down, value. We just don't do it because we simply don't value like we should.
Fear.
Okay. So he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror and for once he has looked at himself and he's gone away and he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. In other words, he just takes a glance. We won't belabor this point, but my guess is that girls log more time in front of mirrors than guys, right? It's just, no? Huh? Oh, yeah, except Dad. He likes to look at himself in the mirror. But, right? Why? That's the question. Why? Right? Why? What's the whole purpose of you all looked in the mirror this morning? Well, okay, right? You women typically spend more time in front of the mirror because you, I don't know, huh? Yeah, because you have to do your hair and all that, right? Us guys, what do? We glance. If I'm lucky when I'm brushing my teeth, right? You just glance.
We're not as brave.
That's right. We're not as brave. I know, Billy, have you had a bad hair day? No, right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Because when we fix it, it's like it doesn't change, right? I haven't combed my hair in years, right? But he's saying is, listen, it's like that. When you just, again, if you do not put into practice what you're hearing and what you know, you're going to forget about it. In other words, if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, it's just a law that God has laid down, not just in the spiritual world, but in basically all aspects of our world, in the physical world, in this world of science. If you don't use something, you're going to lose it. It's like glancing, like, oh, that's nice, with no intention of practicing or saying, okay, you know, if I walk out of here and saying, I didn't learn anything, then the speaker has some responsibility, but then it says that, but I need to get in this passage, although I might not got something right away, I'm going to get in this passage and I got to get something out of this so I can practice it. Put it into play. Now, I have three reasons why I think that there's a difference between why our knowledge outpaces our obedience, and we're going to cover those three next week in some detail. One is sin, which was mentioned. Two is what Sue mentioned, lack of true discipling relationships. And three, I think a cause is Sunday morning. Okay? I'm going to share what I tend to believe what's happening Sunday morning that causes us to be hearers and encourages us to be hearers and not doers. Okay? But that'll be next week. Until then, if you flip on the back of your page, there's some things that I would like for you to do, and I hope you intend to do these. One is, pray about an area that you know that you're not obedient, that you're delusional. Okay, whatever severity. I think I got them up here. Here they are. All right. What area would you like to create what I'd call a construction zone to close the gap? Okay. And if you don't know, maybe you have someone next or close to you that can help you and suggest. Okay. Speaking of that, about anger, have you ever read the scripture and got outright mad? Not really, right? You've gotten convicted, but did you get like, how dare he, right? So why is it when a brother or sister approaches you and says something that you need to correct, you're all bent out of shape, right? It's just God's word. And that's what one of the things when I looked at the anger was that I thought about when James said, don't be angry. Don't be angry if somebody comes up and lovingly tries to correct you, but all of a sudden we're mad and distraught and I can't believe it, right? But what's the root cause of that? Pride, right? Pride hates corrected. Okay. All right, so one, figure out an area that you would like to close the gap. Number two, list reasons why you think you haven't been faithful in that area. All right? And three, start thinking of ways this week that you can begin to close that gap. And we want to hear some ideas. We're going to come up with some ideas on how we can close the gap of our knowledge and our obedience. And another thing that is super important that was mentioned is one of the reasons why we have this gap is because we lack personal relationships within the body. Ask at least one person to pray for you the next 2 weeks. At least just commit the next 2 weeks. Ask somebody, look, I want to work on this problem and I'm trying to figure out ways. Can you specifically pray for me? And ask me once in a while through these next few weeks how I'm doing with it. And we're just putting our toes in the water with this. But this is where we're going to be able to close that gap. So those are the four things we would like you to work on. And next week we'll be sharing some of our work this week too. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your warnings, your encouragement, that you don't want us to just accumulate knowledge, be fat with knowledge, but you want us to put into practice. And Lord, as we figure out why we don't, why our knowledge outpaces our obedience, help us to sort through our reasons. Help us to give us wisdom as we seek your wisdom on figuring out ways that we can close that gap. And I pray that we would be intentional in asking someone to pray for us. So Lord, we just entrust these things in your hands and just ask that you'd be glorified and that we would grow and become and close that gap in the near future. In Jesus' name, amen.